Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about something that has been dominating the year 2020. For worse, I'm not even going to say the for better part because fuck that. It hasn't been better. It's all been for worse. We're talking about conspiracy theories, and we'll start talking about, you know, COVID's not real, and we can talk about QAnon a little bit too. But first, I will introduce our wonderful returning guests. Both of you have been on the show. This has got to be like the fifth time or something.
I think it's the fourth.
Okay.
I think it's three.
No, because we did the second time right before COVID started, and then we did once during COVID. So this is four.
Oh yeah. My God. So this is the fourth time. So one more time, and you guys get official Vague Idea green jackets that you can wear anywhere you want. It's going to be very exciting.
Well, we can't go anywhere, so it'll be from the bathroom to the bedroom to the kitchen.
You can definitely sashay in front of the mirror. Do a twirl.
You can wear it in front of tea and be all like, you like this?
Do you like my podcast novelty jacket that's completely imaginary because it's never actually going to exist? Which, I mean, hey, somebody might be into that. I'm not kink shaming anyone.
Do what you do, boo.
Lynn, welcome back to the show. Lynn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So your daughter is at college.
She took her to college. I'm excited for her, but I am sad because she keeps going to Oyster Happy Hour with my brother and his wife, and I want to go. 50-cent oysters at
That's
Happy
crazy.
Hour?
That's real good.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that in New Orleans is pretty badass, so yeah.
Yeah, I would think so, and she was unaffected by the hurricane.
Nope, the hurricanes both skirted New Orleans, and they're hoping it's going to happen again for this next round, so... Fingers crossed.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, we'll all cross our fingers for that because, yeah, that's oof. Like, I just – well, because you had posted about it, and I saw that. I was like, oh, shit. Like, what would be the worst thing? The year that it's like, I'm going to college during an outbreak.
Right.
I get a hurricane first week while I'm stuck in the dorms.
Two hurricanes. The first one was supposed to be on the first day of class, but it was apparently like one of the most beautiful days New Orleans has had since the spring. And then the second one, it was supposed to hit 2 days later, and it veered off to the west. And it was horrible for Lake Charles, and I hope everybody there is able to recover and everything. But, you know, I'm so glad that it wasn't my baby.
Oh yeah, no, we're all counting selfish wins right now, and I think that's the reason. So yeah.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so much better.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you for being back. Monica, welcome back to the show as well. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I this morning I discovered I have a streak of like gray hair, like right here, that makes me look like a Disney villain.
It's like mine? Can you see mine on the video?
Yeah.
It's like
mine's right here.
Yeah. Mine's like almost dead center. And it's, I think it's like,
mine's
I don't know, it's like 20 hairs wide. It's weird. Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to turn into Cruella DeVille. Like,
oh, that's great.
It's going to get dyed in like a week and a half. So
it's not. No, don't leave it. I'm going to see your Cruella DeVille hair.
I know. I looked at it. Normally, I'm not excited by my gray hairs, but this morning I was like, that's kind of cool.
It is. It's cool when it's like when it's doing a thing, right? Like when the hair on the sides of my head grows,
right here,
I get a little bit of salt and pepper, and I'm like, I wish I could just. I want those like Reed Richards, just like silver stripes, you know?
Yeah, it's gotta have something, right? If it's gonna be distinguished, right?
Yeah, something special. We deserve something special.
Fucking gray hair, exactly. Welcome
back. Thank you. Thank you for coming back on. So we're going to talk about conspiracy theories because conspiracy theories are charming when they aren't completely impacting your nation's politics and health and safety. But right now, we'll just start. Let's just jump right in.
Okay.
We're going to jump right in.
Yeah.
The opening question is not so much a question, but it's kind of a statement that ends with the word right. It's fucked up that current events are so tied to conspiracies in 2020, right?
Yes.
I mean, I read somewhere about, you know, conspiracy theories when that pandemic thing happened.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, you know, when something like is very, like when world events happen that people just really don't understand, like they just have to like make up stories about it because it's just so out of their concept or their understanding of the world. And so obviously, you know, there has to be something or some other hand to cause this. So I just thought,
and it also gives people a measure of control over things that they can't control. So, you know, as outlandish as it sounds that the whole entire world somehow conspired to develop a pandemic just so that Trump won't be reelected. Like that sounds ridiculous unless you're somebody who you have a lot going on and you need to control something. So you can
tell you, if that were true, I would have chipped in $5 on that. I got $5 on that shit.
Yeah, let's go. Where's my George Soros check so I can kick in for the plandemic? it's interesting because I mean, conspiracy theories are in essence about the world being scarier than what we want. So it's easier to create a rationale around, well, something must be causing the scariness. It can't just be that a disease can just happen that is dangerous. That's outside the bounds of consideration. So, of course, somebody had to make it for a reason.
Right. Well, I believe that's called a black swan theory, like something that happens kind of all at once and it's so impactful. And you're not expecting it at all. I believe that is the black swan theory of whatever.
I choose to believe you.
That may be a conspiracy though.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because it's like, okay, so this year we've been dealing with QAnon, which of course is the conspiracy that says that Donald Trump is trying to take down a secret cabal of deep state pedophiles who include the Clintons and a bunch of other Democrats, as well as anybody else who has money in this country who isn't Donald Trump. The one guy who is trying to take this down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So we got that one going. We've got all of the conspiracy theories around COVID-19 and the pandemic, the idea that, oh, masks don't work. Masks will make you sicker. Oh, Fauci created this in a lab. Oh, maybe this shit came from space. I don't know. Like all sorts of stuff. And then you also have... you also have like the false flag concept that pervades our lives, right? Which is the idea that like anytime any event happens, oh, it's made up. And this comes from Alex Jones, which, you know, how do y'all feel about Alex Jones?
You know, the day that he denied that 20 kindergartners were shot and killed by a man who did so, like that was the day that I was like, why does anybody listen to this? Because full disclosure, my ex-husband used to listen to Alex Jones all the fucking time. Oh, and yeah, and my ex is a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, but I finally was like, you cannot listen to this in the house because this dude's ridiculous. But then when I can't think of the name of Newtown. Is that it?
Yeah,
when that happened and he denied that it happened, that it was a hoax, it was like, oh, fuck that guy.
Because that's interesting. There's a PBS, there's a Frontline documentary called United States of Conspiracy that just came out a couple months ago, which if you haven't watched it, or listeners, if you haven't watched it, I recommend it wholeheartedly because it just talks about Alex Jones and how he goes from kind of charming weirdo, who's just this fringe radio character in Austin, Texas, to what he is now. Which is a force
which is a fucking creep. Which is a fucking creep harassing teenagers at a state park. Like that's where you are right now. You are a creep, you know, harassing teenagers because they won't let you go to the lake. Like, come on, dude. Like, how the mighty have fallen.
I know, right?
Well, it's just, it comes into the whole white male fragility thing too, because that's all he really represents is this idea that like, I'm not going to take this anymore. And it's like, you're not taking anything. Shut up. Like nothing is really hurting you. You have a very popular radio and YouTube show. You're making money hand over fist, hawking dick pills, among other things. And like, which are a conspiracy in themselves.
Right.
And then, and it's like, and you get away with, you know, the spoken equivalent of murder. I mean, denying that children were shot is fucking disgusting. And pretty much everything else he says is disgusting. So, yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's been such a weird year that all of these chickens have come home to roost in this way, where it's like, everything's a conspiracy. I mean, even like, even there are conspiracies about Black Lives Matter and about Antifa and about all these other things, right? And it's, and it's all based around, how can we rationalize that people can't actually possibly really be upset? It has to be evil forces causing this. And it's like, no, how about this? How about you just listen to anyone actually make their point for 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Because, I mean, how could Black people possibly be upset?
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys have had the vote for however long, and what, and Kennedy, like, I don't know, the Johnson did stuff, it's over with. It's over with.
Yeah. Oh, racism ended with Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
We found that out. Yes.
God. Okay, well, hey, great. Great job on the opening question. I'm going to reward each of you. I'm rewarding each of you 3 points. And now we're going to go into round number one. And Monica, I'm going to start with you.
All right.
Do you have a vague idea about chemtrails? Chemtrails.
Chemtrails.
Yeah.
I am going to assume that chemtrails are, you know, some sort of like chemical trail.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You parsed out the portmanteau.
It's like some sort of chemical trail that is causing that, you know, that causes cancer or gayness. Like, okay. I'm gonna say one or the other.
Okay,
that's
great. Yeah,
that's what I know about chemtrails.
That's very, very strong. Very strong. Lynn, do you have anything to add about chemtrails?
I do. So those are the trails that you see in the sky, which the government says are vapor trails left by planes flying. Mm-hmm. But conspiracy theorists would know they are indeed chemicals that make us gay and or give us cancer.
It's true. They do lots of other things too. So technically they're called contrails, which is just condensation trails. So the water vapor that gets hyperheated by the jet engine as it goes by turns into a cloud as it comes out the other end, leaving a streak. But yeah, people have taken to the idea that, oh, these cause cancer. They cause homosexuality. They cause they're mind control. They're used for mind control. Yep. They're also used for all sorts of others. Some people think that they're used to control the weather. That they're doing that so that they can do that or to shower poison down on crops. Yeah, they don't want to actually say that it's a thing. They would rather come up with something else.
Okay.
Maybe the globe's not getting warmer, but those chemtrails are making everybody feel warmer, and that's the real problem.
Yes, because you know, the whole thing with the greenhouse gases, that's not real.
No, yeah, because that's insane. And we accepted that in the 1980s when there was like a hole in the ozone layer and everybody's like, oh, stop using hairspray so much. And we were good with that.
Yes. But
no, it's been almost 40 years. We can't be good with that anymore.
Right.
Gotta freshen it up.
Yes.
Well done on chemtrails. Lynn, I'm going to give you 3 points. Monica, 2 points.
All right.
And it's time for round number two. And Lynn, we'll start with you.
All right.
Do you have a vague idea about, and this is about the conspiracy related to, but you can also talk about the thing itself. Do you have a vague idea about New Coke?
New Coke. I do remember when it was released, and I am a classic Coke drinker. I love that. But whatever Coca-Cola did, I should say, people were really pissed, and apparently it did not taste as good as the old Coke recipe. So I guess they took the cocaine out. I don't know. But,
I mean, I think they took the cocaine out like 80 years ago, unfortunately.
Well, yes, but then whatever it was in the 80s before New Coke came out, like I do remember that it was a huge deal. But I didn't drink it really then because my mom was a Pepsi drinker. Blech. People were upset, and then that's the extent of my knowledge about New Coke.
Okay. Monica, New Coke.
How are we even friends? Coke is disgusting. 1,000% a Pepsi drinker. What the fuck?
How are we friends?
How are we? Who are you? I don't even know you.
I don't know you either. I thought you were cool.
Listeners, this is getting pretty tense here in the studio. I just want you to know.
Anyway. I actually had Coke like twice last week, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This is disgusting.
I love it.
Other than like what Lynn says, that you know they changed their recipe and they changed their formula back in like the mid 80s or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I know that people were really upset about it, probably because it like, you know, tasted gross and, you know, but I don't know about any conspiracy around it, so I don't.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give each of you 1 point. The conspiracy around New Coke is a bunch of people believe that they changed the recipe intentionally to make it bad so that they could re-release the original flavor for the purposes of helping their stock and also increasing their customer base.
That seems like a long way of going about that, but okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's the hallmark of conspiracy theories, right? Is that it's like, why would they invest all the time in developing and distributing something disgusting on purpose just so that they could bring back the old thing to maybe make a little bit more money than they were making before, when they could have made money the whole time that they were wasting money on developing the garbage? Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. One of the executives from Coke at the time said something like, we were not smart enough or dedicated enough to do anything like that, but okay.
I feel like conspiracy theorists have really good imaginations, and they come up with things that, you know, regular people are just kind of like, I would never have thought of that.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of imagination and time to think of it.
I mean, it's literally not like Coke was ever not going to be, like, still the global cola superpower it is, right? Everybody drinks, like, Coke.
Right.
For whatever fucking reason.
That would be like saying that we intentionally, as Americans, created New America, led by Donald Trump, on purpose so that old-fashioned America looks better after we get rid of him. Which, no, we didn't do that because this has been miserable.
It's been awful.
It has been awful.
So yeah, 1 point each. And now it's time to play our first game. We're going to play Recast. And this week on Recast, we're going to recast the film Conspiracy Theory from 1997, starring Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. So, so Monica, I'll start with you. Who are you recasting in the roles of Mel Gibson's character and Julia Roberts' character?
Okay, so Mel Gibson's character is fucking crazy, weird war veteran. And I kind of want... what's that guy? That Pete guy that was
Pete Davidson. Ariana.
Pete Davidson.
Oh yeah, okay.
I want Pete Davidson to play a crazy, like, fucked up, coked out, you know, conspiracy theorist. And then for Julia Roberts, like, very straight laced lawyer kind of lady. Let me see. I want to pick Helen Mirren.
Okay. A real May December situation.
I just want her to bring some, like, you know, gravitas to the situation, and she's still cut, and she's still sexy, right? Sexy, right?
100%.
I want that. That's my casting.
There is nothing more interesting than the romantic subplot between a just like bleach blonde tattooed Pete Davidson and Helen Mirren.
Like, cracked out. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But she gradually comes to realize that he is correct and that there is someone following him, because Patrick Stewart, or whoever we recast in Patrick Stewart's role, is actually dangerous.
Yes.
All right. Lynn, who would you cast?
So I'm going with Quirky and Adorkable. Quirky would be Jesse Eisenberg, because I feel like he would have that kind of manic energy. Like, what was the movie that he was in where it's pretty much that same role, where he was the gas station attendant who then they find out he had been trained to be an assassin by, like,
the FBI. Oh, yeah, the American Ultra.
Yes, that one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I would add, for Adorkable, Zooey Deschanel, because there's no way she could play a lawyer and be, like, actually convincing, but it would be kind of an interesting choice.
We'd have to give her a briefcase that just always like pops open whenever she enters a room. So just files go flying everywhere, no. And she's like, "Oh no!" And then a ukulele falls out, and she plays a song.
Yes, exactly.
Great. Okay. I like it. It's a lighter version of the movie, but it's kind of in the Doris Day Rock Hudson sort of style. Like it's going to be a cute, maybe even kind of a musical. I don't know. Can Jesse Eisenberg sing?
I don't know if he can sing.
I think he can. I think he was in a Woody Allen movie where he was singing.
Was he in Everybody Says I Love You? Is that the Woody Allen movie where they sing?
That's Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. That's probably also, too.
Or maybe he was, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about somebody else. But I like Jesse Eisenberg, but maybe he does sing. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
That would be a very different conspiracy theory. It wouldn't have a darker undertones of like,
you know, sometimes you need a little lightener to people trying to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, it could be as simple as like, and here's your product placement tie-in. Cadbury cream eggs aren't eggs at all. That's the conspiracy in this movie.
But they have a yolk.
And they have a yolk. But yeah. What? What?
Exactly.
It'd be very, cute.
Cadbury cream eggs.
I know. This is why we're friends, because.
Great job. You were both absolutely correct. And I will award you each 2 points. Woo-hoo. And now we'll go into round three. Lynn, for round number three, do you have a vague idea about Roswell, New Mexico?
Oh my gosh. So I used to live in Las Vegas eons ago. And again, my ex-husband, he worked with the woman who her husband worked at Area 51. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. You meant Roswell, not Area 51. But still, anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the right track.
Yeah, what I know about Roswell and Area 51 is that conspiracy theorists say that aliens have landed at both, and the Area 51 houses aliens and ships and things like that. And you're not allowed to talk about what's there when you work there. I know that for sure. In Roswell, same thing, aliens, landings, and it was also the setting for the TV show, I will not say hit because I do not think it was a hit, in 1998-99 by the same name. That had a young Sherry Appleby in it, and it was all about, what's her face? The one who was on Grey's Anatomy. Oh, I can totally see it.
Catherine.
Catherine Heigl, yes. Mm-hmm. It was about a brother, sister, and friend who were aliens who discovered their power around the age of 16 or 17, and they had to hide from the government. So I think I've exhausted my knowledge of Roswell. That's it.
Very good. I watched a fair amount of that show. It wasn't a great show, but it was good. It was part of that block of time when it was like, I'm watching Dawson's Creek and I'm watching Buffy and I'm watching Roswell because this shit's on, and Charmed sometimes.
Charmed all the time. I watched this shit out of Charmed, except for when after Shannon and Doherty left, and then I was like, I love Shannon Doherty. I didn't like Rose McGowan.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So. Monica, Roswell.
Roswell, New Mexico. Yes. There is this belief that in 1956 or so, around there, an alien ship crash landed into Roswell, in Roswell, New Mexico. And there's like, you know, they have these like video, or they have like these photographs that like kind of like prove that. You know, that prove that theory that like aliens landed and that the government is covering it up. And then the thing about Area 51 is I was just watching this documentary about this guy who in the 1990s or whatever came out with like how he used to work there, and he used to work at MIT, and like how he developed like alien technology that was from parts of the spaceship that landed in Roswell, New Mexico. It was like in Area 51. I can't remember his name. It was just like it was like this crazy thing because like nobody could prove he went to MIT, but he's all like, yeah, that's why, you know, I did go because the government erased me.
Gonna Whoa. Do that. No, you can't.
And yeah, and I also do know that they did a it's not a remake, but they did a reimagining of Area 51 where they were like recently in the last like couple years.
Oh, you mean
where,
Roswell?
Roswell, the TV show Roswell, New Mexico, and it was just called Roswell, and it's like their children.
Oh yeah,
like, Shiri Appleby and like and their children, you know, living their alien life. So that's what I know about Roswell, New Mexico. It's the site of a famous, infamous alien ship crash.
It's a pretty normative way to make a reboot show where it's like, oh, well, all of the characters you remember had kids, because that's what people, what aliens do also, is just have kids in small towns.
Yeah, because nobody wants. Who wants to leave Roswell, New Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to do. There's the International UFO Museum and Research Center. There's the Spring River Park and Zoo and the Anderson Museum of Contemporary Art. The UFO crash was purported in 1947.
Oh, something like that.
But yeah, I mean, you both did excellent. I was gonna say like okay, so you've both seen the film Independence Day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. Independence Day's trailer was one of the few that like haunted me when I was a kid. Like I got genuinely scared for I think like, a week. Because the trailer was so convincingly ominous, and I was like, "Oh God, what if aliens do come? We're fucked." Because I don't think Will Smith can actually
on our side.
Punch them. I mean, that's the thing.
We need
an army of Will Smith.
Yes,
I mean, we'll have Space Force in like a couple.
True.
Years.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Boots on the moon.
We'll be fine.
Great job on Roswell. I'm going to give you both 3 points. And now it's time for round number 4. And Monica, do you have a vague idea about water fluoridation?
Oh yeah, they were, you know, so back, you know, before, you know, they started putting, you know, fluoride in water, you know, there was this idea that like, you know, well, so first of all, they started putting fluoride in water, and that wasn't something that they did before, and you know, supposedly it's for like strengthening your teeth and everything like that because we don't have enough like fluoride in our diet or whatever. But conspiracy theorists think that like they put fluoride in water so they can start mind controlling the population, and they can start subduing the population, you know, much like, you know, when, you know, the government put birth control in the water in Puerto Rico, but that actually happened. So
it did.
That did, but the fluoridation really did happen, but it's not because of mind control, although that's what they think is like, you know, government started putting fluoride in water to like start controlling the minds of young people.
Yep, very good. Lynn, anything to add about fluoridation, water fluoridation?
That's exactly what I would have said. And the only thing I would add is that it was because we had an inordinate amount of cavities in this country, probably due to high sugar diets more than anything, but fluoride helped to stop the cavities. So, you know, give it to everybody. And the quickest, best way to do that is through the water system. And that also helps to control minds.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I one of the things that I've thought about with this is that because it's a semi-socialist act to say, hey, you know what we can do? We can just add something to the water supply that'll make everybody healthier as a baseline. That's part of what spurs it. I mean, obviously, like anytime you're adding a chemical to something that people have to have, it's going to raise some eyebrows.
Right.
But I really think that there's a lot more pushback because like, you're taking away my right to choose to have bad teeth. And it's like, no, fuck you. That's not what this is about. Yeah. My favorite thing is it's Dr. Strangelove features a vignette where there's a sergeant who is convinced that water fluoridation is controlling everyone's minds, and he thinks that he's under attack by Soviets in the moment, so he's like shooting randomly and everything. But he also talks about how they're trying to steal his fluids, which is another conspiracy that's altogether different. But the whole idea that like male body fluid, specifically semen, being stolen is an effort to take people's power away from them, men's power away from them.
I wrote an entire paper. I wrote an entire paper in undergrad about Dr. Strangelove, or how I learned to love the bomb and how stop wearing and love the bomb. Mm-hmm. And that movie is literally all about sex, and it's like a giant circle jerk. It's that movie is the weirdest. Yeah.
It is so,
and it's dirty. And if you watch it, but I wrote a paper like examining Dr. Strangelove.
Right on. Yeah. I would love if you have it somewhere, I would love to read it sometime. I love that movie. And you're absolutely right. Like it's all about male sex and its association with power. And the fact that like, mm-hmm. it is a movie about dick measuring.
It's a movie about masturbation and dicks and it's a movie about like cum and masturbation and dicks and, yeah.
What class did you write this paper for, Monica?
I honestly can't remember, but I remember writing it.
Are you sure it was a class at all?
I just did it for myself.
It's just like a diary entry. happens to take a 5-paragraph structure, and it has a conclusion and a hypothesis.
Yeah. No, it was a legit like 15-page paper.
Yeah. No, like, it sounds.
It sounds
really cool.
It was in my senior year of college. I remember that, and I can't remember why. I'll have to look back at my transcripts and look for which class I wrote that for. But it was my senior year of college.
Right on. Yeah. If you ever dig it up, I would love for you to send it to me. I would like to read it.
Great. I want to see that too.
Great work. Yeah. I'm going to award each of you 2 points. And nice. Now it's time to play our second game. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh, yay.
And this time for Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have a choice between 3 conspiracies related to outer space. Okay. So you have to tell me whether you want to fuck, marry, or kill Flat Earth, fake moon landing, or viruses that come from space, which is a surprisingly common one. The idea that satellites and other space trash go up there, they get viruses on them, that's why people get sick.
Oh wait, I didn't hear you. You went silent for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
I heard
so it's
fuck, marry, kill, mm-hmm. and then after that, I didn't hear what she said.
Okay. Yeah. Your choices are flat Earth, fake moon landing, and viruses coming from space.
Okay. Who goes first?
Why don't you go ahead, Lynn? We'll go there.
Oh. Okay, so I think that I would kill the viruses from outer space, mm-hmm. so that once and for all, we can get rid of that trope.
Great.
I would marry the moon landing I'd marry the moon landing because, that's kind of a sexy place to be and, it's stable.
If you're imagining that you're going to spend your life in an airplane hangar that's been designed to look like the moon, and Stanley Kubrick just films everything you're doing, it's a great place. That's kind of a cool place to live.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I don't mean this as fuck as in sex. I mean fuck that the flat Earth thing because really shouldn't
wait. No, I
killed the virus. I married the moon, and then the flat Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do want to make the fuck into sex, you can have sex with Kyrie Irving, the poster boy of Flat Earth.
No, thank you.
No? Okay. That works? All right. Monica, what do you think?
B.O.B. is actually, Bob is actually a big proponent of the Flat Earth theory.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You can also fuck Bob. I'm 1,000% going to fuck the fuck off to the flat Earth theory because mm-hmm. it's fucking stupid and I don't fuck stupid people.
Yeah.
And like there are legit pictures of like the round Earth. And the other part that makes no fucking sense about the flat Earth is like only Earth is flat, but all of the other planets are round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with you. It makes no fucking sense. It's fucking stupid. So I don't fuck with flat Earth theory.
Yeah, no. No one should. It's absurd.
All right. And, okay. I would, let's see. I would kill the moon landing because in order for the moon landing to, like, make sense, like, I read somewhere like 8,000 people would have to have been involved in that. And like, two
people keeping all those people quiet?
Yeah. Two people can keep a secret as long as one of them are dead, right? Isn't that what they say?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, there's no way that actually could have happened in anyone. Like, and we could have, just put it in history books. It really happened. No one will ever whisper to their significant other one night, drunk, or just belt out at a party. We did, oh man, that was so fake. We faked that. Kubrick. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Kubrick is really cool, man.
Yeah. And I would marry the space viruses. Because, listen, technically, we're all made out of moon dust. So all viruses are space viruses because we're all made of particles of space.
She right? just got esoteric with it.
Yeah, I got esoteric.
I can
mess with that. And then there's also this, I mean, we don't know what's in space right now, right? And so if things are coming, like falling from the sky, satellites are falling from the sky, we don't know what could have like be living on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I could see that as a theory, and I could and I could get into that. So
I love that you said that. Yeah.
Oh no, girl. I love a good conspiracy theory. So I would fuck with like I would marry that conspiracy theory because I can justify it and I can make it make sense for me.
What's interesting too is like, if we're all made of space dust, then we're all kind of fucking ourselves all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are aliens.
Yeah.
We are aliens. Yeah. We're just a weird collection of shit that happened and science.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of explains what happened. Yeah.
So there's my thing.
All right. Great. You're both wonderfully correct. Lynn, I'm going to give you 2 points, and Monica, I'm going to give you 3 points because I do like this idea of fucking that space dust. So just so you both know, we have a tie now. We are tied at 16. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name.
Okay.
So, because conspiracy theories are made up, I would like each of you to make one up. So, we'll start with Monica. Make up a conspiracy theory.
Like not a one that I haven't heard before?
Yeah, make something up. Just what's a conspiracy? Make something up.
Okay. I am 1,000% convinced that, let me see that our phones don't control our minds, but our phones are controlling our fertility.
Okay.
Because we keep them in our pockets and the radiation is causing like fibroids in women and it's causing men to like lose like sperm count. And if our phones get overheated because they vibrate a lot, and they're in our, and again, they're in our pockets, right? They're not causing cancer.
Right.
They're a way to like for a population control that the government is imposing. The Chinese government is imposing, because you know how the Chinese government.
Yeah, with the Chinese government.
You know, because how the Chinese government likes to control fertility, right? And all of the parts in our phones are made in China.
It's true.
You know, whether or not wherever they're assembled, all of our parts are made in China. All the parts are made in China. And China wants to be a global superpower. So give us Americans phones and control our fertility.
I think we're through the looking glass on that. That is some serious shit. Well done. So Lynn, what's your conspiracy? What's your made up conspiracy?
Well, damn, how do you follow that? Because that was pretty amazing. I'm 1,000% convinced that none of this is real. Like, we are not talking right now. We can't talk because we are nothing. There is nothing in this space except that the government has told us that we are here. But there's no such thing. Not one.
There's no such thing as here.
There's no such thing as here. You cannot convince me that there's a here and us. Nothing.
So what is it? What is it if it's not this?
It's nothing.
Okay.
It is nothing. You can't prove that that's not true. So there you go. Nothingness is everything.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of, it ties into, I've always thought that like, that like visible color is a weird thing because not everybody experiences it the same way. So we all have, like, I'll never have an idea how you see the color blue. And it's very possible that we see blue in very distinct ways that,
or that, like,
I'll never
BC colors that we will never see. Like, that is craziness to me. See, nothing is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, great. I love both of those. Here's my conspiracy. Those touchscreen soda machines are something that Bill Gates has put out there specifically to sell Surface tablets to people by getting them to associate the joy that they get from a sugar rush with computing. And he's, you know, they popped up almost overnight and suddenly it's like, oh, you can do anything you want to soda now. We could never do that before. But now, suddenly now it's like, oh, we can add vanilla flavoring. We can add all sorts of different stuff into this. Like, who cares? It takes up almost the same amount of space as a regular soda machine used to. So now it's just like, what the hell? This is crazy.
It's a lot more.
We're selling Surface Pro tablets is what we're doing, Mr. Bill Gates. And it's all part of his, you know, his conspiracy to track us using the COVID vaccine, obviously, because that makes a lot of sense too.
Yes. Well, he's been working on, you know, global vaccinations just, you know, to prep us for the fact that, you know, once we get it, that he can then control us. I mean,
yeah. Cause you can't possibly track us by our infertility causing smartphones that are already in our pockets.
Already in our pockets.
They don't exist.
Already there. But cause none of it exists. This is, wow.
Yeah.
I think we cracked something today. I think we're going to leave the listeners with a lot to think about at the end of the show.
This is some 1,000%. Inception shit. Some Matrix shit.
Matrix shit.
great work. 2 points each for Chose Francais Arbitraire. And it's time for the final topic. You both remain tied. You're tied at 18 points. So the final topic will determine who wins and who loses.
Okay. What does that look for?
Isn't that dramatic?
That is so dramatic.
So Lynn, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Do you have a vague idea about the conspiracy around the 1985 NBA draft lottery?
Oh my God, no. I am admittedly not a sports person, so I have no idea what happened in 1985, except that maybe Michael Jordan was a part of it. And he was, I believe, not one of the top picks, though he ended up being one of the best NBA players of all time. So there's a conspiracy to keep the black man down.
All right.
I'm going with that one.
Okay. Yes. I mean, I'm going to give you a point for the conspiracy to keep the black man down, because I think that's probably accurate.
Thank you.
Monica.
Yeah.
Do you have a vague idea about the 1985 NBA draft lottery?
The 1985 NBA draft lottery was a conspiracy between the NCAA and the NBA to put certain players. So it wasn't random. You know, they had some computerized, you know, workings going on, and I think that, you know, the NCAA and the NBA owners got together and like, listen, these are the people that like we really want, and so they had an agreement between them about how they were going to do it. So they had already divvied up the players before, and and George Popovich was in on it, and Roy Smith from UNC.
From UNC.
Totally in on it. Mm-hmm. From UNC. Totally in on it with Michael Jordan. 1,000%.
Okay. All right. Not really correct either.
No, not at all.
I'm gonna
You said it so convincingly.
I have no fucking clue.
I'm gonna give you each 1 point. So we're gonna stay tied, but I'll have a tiebreaker for you. The 1985 NBA draft lottery conspiracy was that Patrick Ewing, who played for Georgetown, was drafted by the New York Knicks. But many people believe that then Commissioner David Stern rigged the lottery because the Knicks had gone without any good players for a long time. And they were like, we got to get a good player in the New York market. So they gave him Patrick Ewing. And that was the conspiracy there. So yeah, let's see. Okay. So we need to, do you want to stick with the tie? Do you want to stick with a tie of 19 or should we do a tiebreaker?
What do you say, Monica?
I mean, we can, I don't know, like literally, Lynn, we are 3-0 in my favor. So do you want to try to win this? My question.
Why the hell not?
Let's do a tiebreaker.
Okay. All right. So the tiebreaker, and Lynn, I'll start with you, is going to be, do you have a vague idea about the conspiracies around September 11th, 2001?
Oh my God. I feel like my body has been waiting for this question.
So. What a weird thing to say.
I know, right? Well, first of all, it was an inside job. The U.S. government and George W. Bush, the CIA, like anybody who was in the U.S. government totally had culpability. There is no way that jet fuel burns something like that. So it was a bomb inside of the Twin Towers, not two planes hitting it. And you know how we know that this was something that was an inside job, but God spared the lives of so many people who could have otherwise died. It's because two crossbeams from the towers remained in the shape of a cross. So there you go.
That's very good. Monica, what can you add?
I will add that there is very much disagreement about whether or not the planes in Pennsylvania and the Pentagon, they actually happened. So they're saying that those are pictures, but they never actually happened. So like, we know that the Twin Towers fell because that was on television, even though there were bombs in there, right? There were planted bombs in the Twin Towers, but you know, we don't really hear about what happened at the Pentagon. Right, because it never really happened, and the thing in Pennsylvania never really happened because we only really talk about what happened in New York, and that's, you know, and that was a conspiracy, and that was what George W. Bush wanted to happen so that he can go to war with Iran and kill Saddam Hussein and steal their oil.
Yeah, and that's they had to make the movie United 93 to further back up stuff that had not happened, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, you know, this is the hardest part of the show. Every single is one, somewhat arbitrarily deciding who wins, but also telling one person that they didn't win.
Oh, I'm
but this
to
week,
it.
I think this week it's not only true, but it's time. Lynn, you're due.
Yes!
I'm awarding you four points for the September 11th, so that gives you 23 points total. And Monica, 3 points for that, giving you 22 points. So it's a super tight game. But Lynn, you are the winner this week.
I told you, my body was ready for that one.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was time.
It's about time. I mean, you know, you can blow, but it's not going to last long.
Yeah. We're going to come back for the fifth one, and it's going to be another punch out. So, yeah, Lynn, do you have anything you'd like to plug, anything you want people to know about, do, think about, any of that?
Oh, my gosh. If you are not watching Lovecraft Country, get on it. Like,
it's
figure
good.
Out how to get HBO. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
And also The Man in the High Castle. I know that it's been out for a while and actually they wrapped it up, but we finally found out what happened to Black people when the Japanese and the Nazis split the US after they won. And that's very exciting. And the whole show is very thrilling. So those are my two media recommendations. And then other than that, keep washing your hands, wear your mask. And please do this so that I can go somewhere. I really want to just leave the country for like a week. That would be fun.
Or so, maybe forever, depending on things.
Depending
on how.
Or maybe forever.
Goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, Monica. What would you like to plug?
I would like to plug a really good podcast called Nice White Parents. It's a really good podcast about how white liberals have the best of intentions and fuck things up.
Oh, yeah, basically. Cool.
And so I would like to suggest that. It's a serial podcast, but and then also Love in the Time of Corona, I think it's on Hulu. It's a 4-episode cute little, oh my God, if you need a break from like everything, I binge watched it in like a day because it's only 4 episodes, and it's very sweet, and it's very, you know, it's kind of the break that we need from the shit show that is life.
Yeah.
Right now. And then also, as always, you know, I always, the Benjamin Dixon show, it's on Twitter. He does live shows on Twitter and YouTube, and he has a podcast. So
I've been listening to that podcast since you recommended it last time you were on. And it's great. Cause he really spits fire. And yeah, it's amazing. Cause it's like, oh yeah, thank God somebody's really articulating this well.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I highly recommend that. And then again, like Lynn said, wash your hands, wear a mask, you know, stay home if you can, and just take care of yourself. People love each other, take care of each other. I mean, this is hard. We're in hard times.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you both for being on again. This is great. It's always good to see you. Hopefully sooner than later, we'll actually be able to get together in person and do a show at a table instead of through various screens.
That'd be amazing,
wouldn't it? It would just, yeah. I mean, and then to be able to go see Dave and do some trivia too.
I was telling him, before you got on, I tell him I was listening to the podcast a couple weeks ago when Dave was on, and I was like, I miss sexually harassing Dave on Tuesdays.
Which is, I think they're thinking of changing Geeks Who Drink to Sexually Harassing Dave on Tuesdays. And that's just the whole show.
I'm a thousand percent for that. I just missed him. I missed his voice. I was like, oh, it was so comforting. It just made me so happy to hear Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say I missed all of the Geeks Who Drink family, but yes, it's mostly Dave.
We miss you, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, we miss you. Dog is barking.
Rocket
misses him too.
Stop being
Rocket. Rocket misses Dave.
Yeah, I know. Rocket hasn't even met Dave, and he's missing him.
Yes.
There's a podcast that I started listening to called My Mama Told Me that is hosted by Langston Kerman. That is, ooh, it is a, it's all quote unquote black conspiracy theories. It might interest the both of you. I'm not sure. It's pretty funny. Funny because he also brings, he has a younger sister who's like 10. And he brings her on to the podcast to recount conspiracies that she's learned about on TikTok, including something about like Chuck E. Cheese robots coming alive at midnight. So it's charming.
Oh, I've heard that. That's not a new thing. That's the whole premise of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah. But I think they also talk about and I didn't know this one, but they talk about like there was a sort of conspiracy / rumor that Usher was a hermaphrodite. And things like that. Yeah. So
I heard about the herpes. I didn't know about the hermaphrodite.
Okay.
Actually, I'm sorry. The correct term is intersex. It is an
incorrect term to use. But it was part of the conspiracy theory in sort of quoting what it was. But anyway, interesting podcast in case you guys want to check it out.
What is it again? It's called
My Mama Told Me. Yeah.
Okay.
And Black Mama would be telling you some weird shit.
Oh, my mom was a total conspiracy theorist. That's why I know so much.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Well, thank you both again for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yes, always a pleasure.
We will do this again. It's number 5 next time. So that's a big milestone.
I want that fucking jacket.
I know. I might have to try to source some sort of satin bomber jackets. Right?
I like it.
So listeners, if you like this show, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. You can also check us out on social media. We're at the A Vague Idea Podcast online group thing on Facebook, as well as at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter and at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram. And yeah, if you like the theme song at the head of the show, that's done by Michael Joseph O'Connor. You can find his music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And, you know, otherwise, yeah, I think wash your hands. Let's try to get out of this thing sometime soon. Black Lives Matter. And vote, probably. I mean, some people need to, at very least. And yeah, and other than that, we all had a vague idea about conspiracy theories tonight, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good
day. Bye, guys.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perez. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.